Thank you, my brother. Good evening. Good to be here with you again this evening. Unfortunately, it's our last. How swiftly these weeks have passed by. And we leave on Wednesday, Lord willing. We have been thoroughly blessed and uplifted and encouraged since we've been with you. And we thank you for your words of encouragement. And we pray that you continue to pray for us as we leave and go back home. Our ministry doesn't stop. We keep on pressing on, doing what God has called us to do for His service. We will keep you in our prayers that God will continue to bless and encourage your hearts as well. Tonight I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the 23rd chapter of Luke. 23rd chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 32. Verse 32. And there were also two others, criminals, King James Version says, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Down to verse 39. Verse 39. And one of the criminals which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today, not tomorrow, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His word to our hearts. Father, we thank you for your word this evening, for the privilege to share your word. We pray now that you might speak through us and to us and challenge hearts this evening according to your precious will, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to think tonight for a while on making the right decision. Are we wise or are we foolish? Making the right decision. Are we wise or are we foolish? There is a saying, it goes this way, the decisions we make determine the road that we take. The decisions we make determine the road that we take. In life, there's but two roads. Two roads. The Bible reminds us that there is a straight and the narrow way, and there is the broad way. The straight and the narrow way, the scripture says, leads to life eternal, and few there be that go in thereat. On the other hand, there is the broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. At some point in your life and mine, we have to make a decision. We have no choice. We must make a decision. Which of these two roads are we going to travel. The decision we make will determine the road that we take. The Bible tells us of many people and of the decisions that they made and the results of the lives that they lived. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus, while here, and we read this in the 7th chapter of Matthew, He gave us a picture there of two men. And they were considered one to be wise and the other to be foolish. He said, the wise man built his house. We sang the chorus in Sunday school, I think it was this morning. The wise man built his house. And he built his house on the rock. And the storms came and the winds blew. And the house on the rock stood firm. On the other hand, the foolish man, he built his house. But he built his house on the sand with no foundation. And Jesus said, the storms came, the wind blew, but the house fell, and great was the fall thereof. The wise man's remained, the foolish man's fell. We also have another picture that the Lord Jesus gave in the 25th chapter of Matthew. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, we have two groups of people. 10 of them, to be correct. And the Lord Jesus said, 5 of this group were wise. 5 were foolish. The wise, He said, had oil in their lamps. The foolish had no oil. The time came for the bridegroom to come. And the call went out, go ye out to meet him. The 5 wise with the oil in their lamps, they lit their lamps. They had oil. They went out to meet him. The 5 foolish had no oil. And so what did they end up doing? Going to look for oil. And they were left behind. The decision that we make determine the road that we take. I trust tonight, by the grace of God, that each of you have made that decision to travel that road, the right road, the straight and the narrow way. We have here in this passage of Scripture that I read to you this evening a story of two men again. And I want you to listen this evening and determine which of these two you think were wise and which one you think were foolish. These two men, the Scripture says, they are thieves. They are both sinful men. They are both on equal grounds in the eyes of God. Well, we all are. We're all equal in His sight. He has no favorites. There's no favoritisms with God. The two thieves were sinful men on equal ground. And both of these men find themselves in a terrible position. They find themselves in a terrible position. Verse 32 that I read to you said they were on their way to be put to death. You and I have never experienced that in our lives. These two men had been prosecuted, found guilty of their crime, and now they were being led along with Jesus to be crucified, to be put to death. This, as we read in verse 33, it says, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals. And notice where they were. One on the left, the other on the right. And who was in the middle? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. One on the left, the other on the right. In other words, they weren't crucified together. They were separate. They were on their own. They had made their decisions in life. They had followed their paths of life. And now, even now, as they faced death, the decisions were theirs. And whatever decision they made at this stage of life was theirs as well. Nobody would make it for them. They were on separate crosses. But praise God, this evening, in the middle of them both, was the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, if you are in this service and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, He is here tonight. He is standing between you and a lost eternity. And you have to make a choice tonight before you walk out of this building. You will either determine what road you're going to take. Will you be wise or will you be foolish? When we look at this story, it reminds us how close we can come to the Lord Jesus and still die in our sins. How close we can come. These two men were so close, they could look directly into the eyes of Jesus. They had the opportunity of a lifetime, a golden opportunity. You have. You have. Right now, right where you are, you have a golden opportunity to submit your lives to Jesus Christ, to get on the path that He would have you go, to avoid death, to avoid a lost eternity. Unfortunately, the decisions were made. One was made as a foolish decision. The other was made as a wise decision. The Bible tells us that one of the thieves railed on Jesus. He cried out to Him, and we don't know exactly what he may have said, but he was a foolish one. He could have said most anything, and perhaps it was, in the condition he was in. He was just thinking of one thing, of getting down from that cross, of surviving, of getting back to his lifestyle, of doing what he had been used to do. That was first and foremost on his mind. He had no time for Jesus. And there was Jesus right by his side. The giver of life. The one that could change his entire life. And beloved, so it is in our lives. So it is. Why do men go on? Why do women go on in a lifestyle that is driving them away from Jesus Christ when the opportunity to know Him, the opportunity to have life, eternal life, is at your fingertips? All that you have to do is say, Jesus, I come. Forgive me of my sins. Accept me into the family of God. That's all. That's all that he asked. And he would have done the same thing for this man. But he did not want it. He desired rather his lifestyle. He desired something else. And we would consider him tonight as a foolish man. However, when we look at the second one, he considered his desperate position. And it was a desperate position where they were. They were dying. It was inevitable. There was no getting down. They were on that cross and they were going to die. What an awful, awful condition and position for one to be found in. It was a desperate condition. He was hanging on that cross. He had no opportunity. No opportunity like you have this evening to go to a church as you are in this church, in this building. None. He had no opportunity to lift his hands to God. His hands were tied to that cross. His only chance was to talk to the man on the middle cross. talk to the man on the middle cross. That was his opportunity. That's your opportunity tonight. Everything else in life is irrelevant. Nothing matters. But what matters to you and I tonight is to know that man on the middle cross. To have talked to him. To have that personal experience in our lives of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. This was his chance. He could come just as he was and didn't make any difference to Jesus. It didn't matter what he looked like. It didn't matter what clothes that he had on. It didn't matter that he was a thief. All that he needed to do was to say, just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am, I come to thee. I surrender my life to you. What did he do? Nothing. He did absolutely nothing. He was totally helpless. And there was nothing that he could do. No ceremonies and nothing that he could perform would take him off that cross and stop him from in just a couple hours of going out into eternity lost. What a sad state, my friend, to go out, to know that you're dying, to know that there is no hope, and to go out into an eternity where the Bible says that we will be lost and in torment forever. Forever. No coming back. No return clause in your life or mine. Absolutely none. It is now or never. Now or never. We don't get a second chance where this life is concerned. It is only one life, the scripture says, and it will soon be passed. Remember this evening, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. What is your life? What is the road that you're taking this evening? I would suppose that in his mind and in the minds of those that were looking at those men hanging on that cross, they looked at them as being doomed. And they were doomed for time and eternity. They were doomed. What a condition for a human being to be found in this life. But thank God, on the other side of the cross, there was another one. There was a wise man. He was a thief. He was in the same condition. He would die in just a few short hours. He knew it. But verse 40 says that he rebuked the one that railed on Jesus, and he said to him, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" He believed in God. He believed in Jesus. This man that was hanging, he believed that he could do something for him. And this evening, my friends, I stand there on the authority of God's word and tell you that he can do something for you. He can change your life. He's changed countless of millions of lives all over the world. He's changed the lives of many in this service tonight. If I were to ask for a show of hands, there will be many hands that will go up that can say, "Yes, Brother Gert, he has changed my life. He has set me on the road, the straight and the narrow way. He is my Savior. I'm going to see him someday." Can you say that? If not, he can change your life. He can change your life. That's what it's all about. He loves you. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love anyone in here any better than the other. He loves us all on an equal basis. And the Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you have to come. You have to come. You have to make that decision in your own personal life. It's a decision that is made between you and God. And nobody else. You have to recognize that God is the only one that can change your life. He is the only one that offers you eternal life. And surrender your life to him. Nobody else can. Nobody can. We're all in it. Just like these two thieves. They were all in it together. But this one Thank God. He believed that there was a future life. He believed that the man in the middle cross could change his life because he was not prepared to go out into eternity lost. That's the question tonight. Are you prepared to go out into eternity without Christ? Oh, my friends this evening, are you prepared? No. No. But you will go. You will go if you do not accept Christ as your Savior. If you do not look at that man on the cross, the Son of God, and repent of your sins and ask Him to come into your heart and change your life, you will go. There is no question about it. The Bible says so. But will you go? Or will you accept Christ this evening? This man, he was not prepared to go out into eternity lost. Rather, he looked at the Lord Jesus on the other side. And he realized that in Him was hope. In Him was life. Life everlasting. He knew that the life that he lived and where he was going was hopeless and helpless. Nothing he could do. But Jesus could do something. He was prepared to do something about his condition while he lived. You can't do something about your life after you're gone. No, my friends. You can't do something about your life after you're gone. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to live with God, if you want to see those of your loved ones that you know have gone on before you into heaven, this evening there is only one way, and that is by the way of the cross. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. We must be born again. No other way. No other way. And you must follow the same position, take the same position and the same attitude that this young man did. He recognized that Jesus could help him in his helplessness. And in verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. That's all we need. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He recognized that Jesus was able to do what no one else could do in his life. And notice, he didn't try to explain away his sins. He didn't try to explain to Jesus, well, I know that I'm a thief and I know I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't have done that. The Lord Jesus is not interested in that. He knows what our lives are anyway. All that he is interested in is that we come to him. Come believing. Come repenting. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And oh, he prayed that short prayer. Lord, remember me. You can do the same thing this evening if you're here without Christ right where you sit now. You can bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. It's not so difficult. There won't be any bells ringing and lights going off, but you will feel the change of your life as the power and presence of God moves in. As this man did, as he hung on that cross. He was a sinner. He was on the brink of eternity. But yet he was willing to admit that the man in the middle cross was all that he needed. And I assure you this evening, my friends, on the authority of God's word, that the man on the middle cross is no longer on that cross, but he's alive. He's not dead, he's alive, and he's here in this building this evening through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And he's walking down these aisles tonight, and he's looking in your face, and he loves you. And he can do the same thing for you as he did for this man. The same thing that he did for this man. Look at the response of the Lord Jesus in verse 43. And Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me
in paradise.
Oh, thank God his prayer didn't fall on deaf ears. His prayer was in time, on time. He was at the mercy of a loving Savior, just as we all are. We're at the mercy of a loving Savior. One who cares about us. One who is not willing, as I mentioned already, that we should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he says to that young man, and I can imagine he looked him straight in the eye, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." What greater words. What greater words. Today. Not, "I'll think about it." Not, "I'll let you know next week." Now. Now. You will be with me in paradise. Beloved, that is the instant change in one's life. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you make that decision that you're going to surrender your life to Him, He will forgive and He will forget. He will instantly forgive you of your sins and make you His child. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He will instantly forgive you of your sin. Instantaneously, you become a child of God. And I want to tell you this evening, my friends, and I don't know all of you here. I know a lot of you. I don't know what you possess or anything else in life about you. But there is nothing in this life that is more valuable to you tonight than to know that your sins have been forgiven and that you are a child of God and you're on that straight and narrow way that leads to life eternal. Nothing. The Bible tells us in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his one soul?" What will it profit? Nothing. We leave it all behind. We leave everything that we have in this life behind. What we have with Jesus Christ is what we will meet in eternity. Beloved, we have to make that decision. We have to make that decision. And oh, this evening, if you are here without Christ, He is waiting for you. He is looking in your eyes and He is pleading. He is saying, "Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Too long you've traveled the paths of sin. You've wandered far away from God. Far away from God." And now He says, "Come home." You have the opportunity tonight to come home to Jesus Christ, as that thief did. One was wise, one was foolish. The foolish one died and he went out into eternity lost forever. No hope. No hope. In torment forever. The one that was wise, he was given eternal life. And these eternal words, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Tonight I want to question you. If your heart were to stop beating right now, and it's a possibility, nothing's impossible. If your heart were to stop beating right now, would you be in paradise with Jesus Christ? Would you have made that right decision? The decision to walk the narrow road. A wise decision. Or would you have gone out into eternity making a foolish decision to spurn the love of God, to turn Him down? You have to make that decision. And you will make that decision before you walk out of this building tonight. I pray by the grace of God that if you are here without Christ tonight, acknowledge Him as your Savior. There's nothing better in all of life. Nothing better. You can't lose anything. You gain everything. You gain everything. And so it is my prayer tonight, as I close, that if you know not Christ as your Savior, you may find Him even before this night is through, for His name's sake. Amen. Shall we bow as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, this evening we have spoken what you've laid on our hearts. And perhaps there are those in this service tonight who know you not as your Savior. Oh God, we pray that even now they will make that decision. The right decision. The wise decision. The decision to surrender their lives to you. For Father, we know that we do not know what tomorrow may bring. But to know you as our Savior will bring heaven and home forevermore. Speak, we pray, O God, to hearts this evening, according to your precious will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to sing in closing this evening. I think it's number 230. 230, if you're here tonight and the Lord is speaking to you, please do not go. Do not leave. Speak to somebody. I'll be at the door. Speak to me. We'll be willing to sit and talk with you if it takes all night to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to get you on that straight and narrow road, to help you to make the greatest decision in all of your life to accept Christ. Speak to someone else that you know, even through the night. Call somebody. Talk to them. Surrender your life, we pray, to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. We're going to stand and sing together number 230, the first and the last stanzas. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. First and the fourth stanzas. The service will be over, and God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening. For his name's sake, amen.